Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Let's talk Rockridge Rocket football now. Sam Graves entering his sixth season. The Rockets, another playoff appearance last year, finishing 8-2. Talking a little bit off the air here, Coach Sam Graves. I know going to have to play. It sounds like, tell me, some young kids, and a number of those young kids going to have to play up front for you.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird mix this year. We had a lot of good quality seniors graduate last year. I mean, I think everybody kind of knows, you know, Nathan Parcher, Colin Schmidt, those guys. Those were two all-staters for us. So there's definitely some spots to fill. And yeah, what's weird, what I'm saying is weird about the depth is that a lot of our guys returning are skill position guys, and then up front, we could be starting as many as three sophomores on the line, on the offensive and defensive line. So, yeah, some youth we need to step up quickly come Friday night.
Well, you're at, I think you told me off the air, 44. And if you talk about high school football in the 70s and 80s and even 90s, people say 44, Taylor, that doesn't sound very good, but 44 is basically the rule now and not the exception. So how do you deal with 44 on that roster from freshman to senior? In most coaches I've talked to in the area, they're about at that number.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the thing is, as a coach, you kind of got to, I guess you would say, adapt and kind of turn around your thinking, because you're right, 44, when you're in the low 40s, it seems disappointing, but that's everybody you talk to, that's where they are now, and that seems, you know, unfortunately, I think that's just a way it's going to be now, and that's what you have to think about is the average for every team. If you can sneak up to the 50s now, I think you're doing exceptional for numbers, especially a small school, so a 1 or a 2A school. So yeah, it's you know, it's something we've dealt with the past few years. I think my first year, we were in the mid-50s, and then every year since then, we've been in the 40s. I think last year, we even finished with 39 or 40 after a few kids, you know, stopped playing throughout the season. So, yeah, if we can be in that mid-40 numbers now, it's kind of an average now. You just don't want to fall below that. Now it used to be you don't want to fall below the 50 number. Now it's, I think, everybody's saying you don't want to fall below that 40 number if you can help it.
Yeah, and I think the other issue, too, where you don't want to be put behind the eight ball when you're dealing with the number issue is you probably pray going into every season that I hope that 44 is spread out perfectly in terms of high school football skill set. You know, I got the among those 44, I got the even spread among linemen and skill players. But unfortunately, it probably doesn't work that way because that's the delicate equation you're working with when you talk about those small numbers.
No, hey, you're right. You know, it's just like talent level on teams. It's high school sports, so there's never that, you know, recruiting element, or it's not like you're getting the guys in to your school that you want to play certain positions and certain body types or whatever you're looking for. It's high school sports, so you're going to get, you know, different classes that are better than other classes in certain areas, like say skill positions, but then the other classes are going to be better up front on the line. So I mean, that's kind of what we're seeing this year, you know, is that we might need, like I was telling you, we might need three or so sophomores to be ready to play up front for us. Our upper, you know, junior and senior classes, we got more skill positions than line. So, you're right. You wish it was exactly even, because you'd like your sophomores to be able to be there to back you up. But you know, it doesn't always work that way. You got to count on some of them to come through on Friday night for you in a varsity game.
I know one of the big keys probably for you offensively here in 2018 is, do you have some relief to take all of the burden off Fetter, because we know what the weapon he is. So I know most teams with the scout will say that's you know, got to get a helmet on him because they're going to run through him this year. Do you feel you have, you know, as I mentioned, some relief to take some of the pressure off of him with the type of athlete he is and the type of attention he's going to get from defenses here in 2018?
Yeah, you know, as weird as it is, as a coaching staff, you always worry about stuff. I think that's part of the job. You take a coaching job and you just worry all the time. But that's the thing we worried about is up front. But in saying that, we've probably have had the best rounded group of receivers that we've had since we've been here. You know, usually we put some young men out there who are better at stock blocking and don't have as good of hands or whatever. And you got to, again, like you talked about that mix, you just got to put the best people out there you can. But this year we feel really good about the whole receiving core, and we feel like we actually have a little bit of depth there. And then we actually were able to move, I know a lot of people know his name, Nico Zarlatanis. He played our middle linebacker spot for us last year as a sophomore. And him and Thomas Rollison, Thomas was the one who played halfback for us when Nathan got hurt week 9 and had that 99-yard touchdown run to break the school record.
Yeah.
So those two actually were going to move back to the backfield and split reps at halfback to kind of, since they're both starting on defense, we're going to try to keep them fresh and rotate series for them. So we actually feel pretty good about the depth of our skill positions. So that's going to be a great thing, I think. You know, like you said, everybody knows who Riley is now, and he's broken, heck, he's broken so many of our school records, and he's just such a threat with the football that I think this, you know, could help him out a great deal because, like I said, we got such a good mix of receivers and a couple halfbacks now. So yeah, he'll definitely have some help.
Yeah, great name, is it? You said Nico Zarlatanis. Is that how I say his name? Say his name again.
Yeah. Yeah, Nico
Zarlatanis. Yeah, man, that's a great football name out there. All right, and you look at the Three Rivers Rock division, which is the small school side, you get the two non-conference games, crossover games, Monmouth-Roseville at home and then Erie-Prophetstown on the road in weeks 1 and 2, and then you get into to conference play week 3 on the road at Riverdale, then Fulton and Newman in weeks 4 and 5. So what does your side of the league look like? I mean, most of the things I hear, of course, you know, you run through Newman again, and then Orion's got a lot of firepower back. What about your side of the Three Rivers here in 2018?
Yeah, I think that's where everybody starts is Newman. That, you know, I'll cry here as a coach a little bit. I think all coaches do. But I don't think Newman ever goes through that typical public school up and down roller coaster like we're talking about. But you know, everything goes through Newman first. They're well coached, you know. And Newman's one of those schools. They're so good that you just kind of want to don't like them. But you can't help it because Coach Popovsky is such a good guy, and I get along with him great off the field. He's a great coach, you know, and they're coached well, and it's no secret they're good year in and year out, but it does. It goes through them first, and I think they'll be – I'm interested to see how it plays out. That's the fun thing about high school sports is, you know, we sit here and talk about the roster and how different classes have different skill sets, whether it's line or skill positions or wherever. That's what's neat is – once these senior classes graduate, is to see what people. Sometimes that team's almost a whole new look coming at you, so you don't really know what to expect. You know, I don't know what to expect out of a team like Fulton. I know they're going to be good, but they lost a lot of seniors, so you don't know. Is he going to do what he normally does? Is it going to be a little more spread and throwing or smash mouth? You know, you just never know until you can start seeing some film on people. So. I, of course, would put Newman number one. And then I think that you could see, I think Morrison could be improved. Their fresh soft team was 9-0. And I think, of course, everybody's looking at Orion to be up there as well. And I would put us up there. But you can't forget, you know, about the other teams that are there. Bureau Valley is going to be better coming back. So, you don't know. It's hard to place 2 through 7. It really is, because even the teams that people typically had down at 6 and 7 the past couple years, like Morrison and Riverdale, they're going to be greatly improved, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right, and I know the big topic of conversation off the field this year, entering the school year, is the town hall meetings over district scheduling, which it seems the concept is getting a little more support and push. I know the IHSA is involved in the football advisory committee, and when you ask them, hey, can you schedule all the football games in Illinois, they say, yeah, we can do that. So what do you think of the possibility, and two, where are you at on the issue?
I'm kind of middle of the road so far. I think it would alleviate the conference pressure everybody's under. I mean, it's no secret that football is the sport that's driving all these conference changes constantly. Everybody's fighting for that fifth win to try to get in the playoffs, and they try to position themselves better for that. So would it help with that situation? Yeah, I think it would. I think before everybody wants to commit to saying they like it or not, everybody wants to see what their example of a district would be. I know there's a lot of examples that are out there, but it's all speculation. You know, I know that Susie Guy or whoever that is up north came out with one, but it's drastically different than what I've seen from somebody else down south that did one. So to this point, it's all speculation. I think to get people on board, they're really going to have to show this is what we're thinking. I really don't think it's going to get enough support if everybody's going into it blindly and they're just saying, yes, we trust you to do a schedule and district scheduling and, you know, a breakdown, but they don't tell everybody what it's going to be until after the fact. So I think to really get this train rolling, they're going to need to come out and say, this is what it would look like if we're going to do this. Now let's see if we have the votes. So, I'm still in the middle of the road just because you don't know how it's going to affect your school. And I wouldn't want to jump one way or another until we see that. So, but at the same time, I say that, but I understand how it would help out with scheduling. I really do. You know, I understand conference jumping around, conferences ending and new conferences starting, and you know, that is a pain for all the other sports and people involved just because of the football schedule. So I see it both ways. And like I said, I'm kind of in the middle until we see how exactly it's going to affect Rock Ridge.
Yeah, and the one thing I do like about it is they're talking about the scheduling would be done over 2 years. So basically, you'd get a schedule set for 2 years, and then there'd be some flexibility. And I think that they also, in terms of the modification of giving schools the flexibility to maybe schedule one or two or maybe even three out of, per se, district scheduling, so they get that flexibility too. But there's going to be a lot of discussion during the town hall meetings, and then if there's enough support, it gets to the membership and they'll vote it up or vote it down. And I think a lot of the things you just brought up, you know, the member schools are going to have to bring those issues up at these town hall meetings. Anyway, we'll talk to Coach Graves every Saturday morning, as we do in previous seasons, and you can catch all the Rock Ridge games on WRMJ.com as well, including next Friday. The Rockets open up at home with the Titans of Monmouth Roseville. Coach, good luck Friday night. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning.
Thank you very much.
All right, Sam Graves, 6 years now as head coach of the Rock Ridge Rockets. We'll have more on WRMJ and WRMJ.com in a moment.